Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. Again, always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and there is plenty to touch on today, both in the local and the national sports scene. Tonight, coming up on KOAL at 6:05, we're going to begin live coverage of the Kohl Bowl. The Kohl bucket is up for grabs tonight as Carbon and Emory go toe-to-toe in Castledale. We're going to talk a little bit about that game coming up in just a bit. Also, we're going to talk some NFL football. Last night, Week 3 got underway right here on KOAL. And for all the criticism of Thursday night contests, we had a doozy. The Rams topped the 49ers 41-39 in a contest that was wacky and really just crazy. When you really break it down, the difference in the game was a missed extra point by Gould. That was actually the turning point in that entire game. So we had a great one. The Rams improved to 2-1 while the 49ers are still in search of their first win. We'll take a look at this weekend set for the NFL football. A lot of great games on tap. And we'll talk some college football. Now, not airing tonight will be the Utah Utes. They will take the field to take on Arizona, but due to Emory and Carbon, we will not have a football game here, or a college football game here tonight. The Utes will return next week. The Utes opening up Pac-12 play against Arizona. Three games, Travis. We've got to take a look at the Utes. And, you know, I don't know the level of competition that Utah's played because they beat up on North Dakota, who I think is a pretty good FCS school, but they are an FCS school.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy San Jose State, who's not very good. And then they beat BYU, who I don't believe is very good. Yet the Utes are number 23 in the country. Tyler Huntley looks as if he's going to be explosive. He's almost thrown for 1,000 yards already this season. Couple of options on the ground. Offensively, I think the Utes are really coming along. I still think that there's some issues there to work out. Defensively, up front and in the middle, they look great. Secondary, maybe a little suspect. I think tonight's a good test for the Utes as they take on Arizona on the road in Tucson.
Arizona, a dual quarterback who can throw the ball and run the ball. Dawkins, who is their quarterback, is their leading rusher. So that's going to be the key. Can they make that guy stay in the pocket and throw the ball instead of getting outside the pocket and running?
Yeah, he's already gone, I believe, over the 700-yard mark for all-purpose yardage between throwing and running the football. No interceptions on the season, 4 touchdowns. You mentioned it on the ground. He's averaging about 7 yards per carry. So you do have a dual-threat quarterback. This is a team that has beaten 2 really unproven opponents. They beat NAU. They beat UTEP. They did lose to Houston in a 19-16 contest. Pac-12 opener tonight for Arizona as well. And again, start time for this contest a little bit later than what we're typically used to. It'll be 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. The number 23-ranked Utes will take on Arizona. There's all kinds of great college football this weekend as well. We'll take a look a little bit later on in the show at some of the games that will matter as far as the playoff positioning goes. It's Week 4 already. So you do have some teams that are starting to jockey for position. We always talk about how the preseason rankings mean nothing in college football. By the time you get to Week 4, Week 5, Week 6, you're starting to see the separation between the pretenders and the contenders. And we're getting to that point right now. So we'll go over those games in just a bit. Let's take a look at some of the national headlines. I want to move back over to the NFL. This is not good for the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Bradford is seeking a second opinion on his knee and will not play Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coach Mike Zimmer made this announcement today. Bradford's left knee did not respond well to practice work this week. The quarterback practiced on a limited basis Wednesday and Thursday, but he wasn't present for the portion of practice today. So they're not going to play him in this game on Sunday. This is sad for me because one of the only things that I believe has kept Sam Bradford from being I don't want to say elite, but being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, it's injuries, because he does possess the ability. Every now and then, we see what Sam Bradford is made of, and we think maybe he's getting through the injury bug, and then something like this rears its ugly head, and it's not as if it was even in action. I mean, it was a non-contact injury for him on the knee. That's what's scary.
Yeah, it stinks for this guy because he is talented, really like the kid, but just can't stay healthy, and it sucks for him and the Vikings.
It's been the same left knee. He had an ACL repair surgery done in 2013, again in 2014, and it's really troubled him over the course of his career in the NFL. He left Minnesota this morning, scheduled to see a doctor later on in the day. Zimmer would not confirm whether Bradford was meeting with the same doctor for another opinion or not, but the Vikings will look to go to Case Keenum to start on Sunday. It's something about Minnesota and ex-St. Louis Ram quarterbacks. I know Case Keenum played for Los Angeles last year, but the year before it was in St. Louis. Last year they had Sam Bradford and Sean Hill. Again, we're talking about three quarterbacks that played for the St. Louis Rams. I got to watch a lot of Case Keenum in college, played for Houston, broke all kinds of records because of the system that he played in. Very small for an NFL quarterback. And while I think he does possess the leadership skills, at least that's what every coach has said about him, he lacks a little bit of the talent. I don't know if this is the guy that you want rolling out week three to go up against Tampa Bay. We saw him last week, and he did struggle a bit against Pittsburgh, and because of that, Minnesota struggled. I think it's going to be a long Sunday for him again.
I'm with you. Tampa Bay's a very good team, just like the Steelers, and the Steelers put a lot of pressure on him and made him toss some bad throws and really just never got into a groove. So for the Vikings, like you said, it's going to be a long day.
We'll stick with the NFL. We'll talk about Rob Gronkowski and Danny Amendola. So the Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, who's been slowed with an injured groin. Believe it or not, the Gronk is injured again. And I know you have such strong feelings about the New England Patriots, and you love Gronkowski. You've gone as far as saying he's the greatest tight end that has ever played in the NFL. I don't doubt that from an ability standpoint. I do doubt that from an availability standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's what it boils down to with the Gronk. However, he is going to play this week. He is good to go. He told reporters that earlier this morning. The Patriots will also get Danny Amendola, who is good to go. He missed last week's win over New Orleans with a concussion. That's kind of been the problem for Amendola as well. He had 6 catches for 100 yards in the season opener. Looked like he would be the guy that would actually fill in and take over for Julian Edelman, not Chris Hogan. So they have Chris Hogan out as an X and a Y with Brandon Cooks. You're going to put Danny Amendola in the slot, roll with Rob Gronkowski, obviously, off the line of scrimmage. But with this being said, two guys that the Patriots are going to be relying on heavily as the season moves down the road, and they have injury problems. I mean, already it's week three and we're talking about this.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead, a guy that is a little dual running back out of the backfield, he's out. But you get Gronk back. When he went down, they thought it was his back. It looked like his back, but it was his groin. So he says nothing serious. He was never concerned about it. But moving forward, you should be concerned about it because Gronk, like you said, he can never stay healthy.
Yeah, there is a reason to be concerned about it because of the amount of games that this guy has missed over the last few seasons. And rarely do we talk fantasy football on the show, but let's be honest, if you're a fantasy football owner, there's such a high risk with drafting Gronkowski for a reason because this guy misses a lot of action. Step away from the NFL. We'll talk college basketball. I want your opinion on this story. Gino Auriemma, Hall of Fame basketball coach, no doubt about it, the greatest women's basketball coach to ever live. A lot of people want to compare him in the same category as John Wooden. I know that's a whole different topic. What he's accomplished at UConn is absolutely second to none for women's basketball. Now he's saying that he is going to coach his team for free next season because there were some comments made. He's basically responding to criticism over the high salaries at UConn. He's slated to make more than $2 million next year. He offered to forgo his pay after reading comments from a lawmaker who justified cuts by saying that a lot of people at UConn make a whole lot of money. So Gino Auriemma says, okay, you know what? You want to complain about what I make? I won't make a penny next year. I'll donate this entire salary to Connecticut. Your thoughts?
I mean, I think he is paid for what he's worth there at UConn. He's put UConn women's basketball on the map. It's a huge brand in women's basketball, and he's paid heavily. So if that's what he wants to do, I guess that's what he's going to do.
You know, there's a lot that goes into this particular topic. Is Gino doing it from a smart aleck standpoint? Or
yes.
Okay. All right. That's my question.
Yes.
I don't want to get into the political side of it because there's a lot of issues as far as bills trying to be pushed by both sides of the parties. I don't really want to get into all that. I try to stay away from politics as much as I can here on the show. The question is it a smart aleck thing for him to do, or is his heart in the right place?
No, he's being a smart aleck, okay. And that's just who he is.
Well, yeah, but when you win as often as he does, I guess you've earned the right to be a smart aleck, right?
Absolutely.
I, he can pretty much do and say what he wants. They're never going to get rid of him.
No.
We know that. They're never going to get rid of this guy. Let's move over and take a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. We are down to the final 10 games of the regular season. Some big, big action. We'll start in the American League. 5:05 tonight, Tampa Bay on the road to take on Baltimore. The Pirates play host to the Cardinals. We get the Yankees at the Blue Jays. The Twins will take on the Tigers. The Reds play host to the Red Sox. The Nationals are on the road to meet the Mets. We get the Cubs at the Brewers. Philly will take on Atlanta. 6 o'clock hour tonight, Kansas City will take on the White Sox. We get the Angels at the Astros. 7 o'clock hour, Marlins at the Diamondbacks. Rangers at the Athletics. Indians take on the Mariners. And the Dodgers play host to the San Francisco Giants. I like this matchup. Jeff Samardzija against Rich Hill. I asked you this question last week. Will the Dodgers get to 100 wins? So right now, they're 9 games away. We're 9 games away from the end of the regular season. They need 3 more wins.
Yeah, they'll have it by the weekend. They'll sweep the Giants.
I don't think so, man. I really don't. They get to 100. I don't know if they sweep the Giants. I really don't. This team is just not playing well right now. Take a look at the American League playoff picture. The way it looks right now, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros have all clinched a playoff spot, although the Red Sox have yet to clinch the American League East. Wild card situation right now in the American League has the Yankees at 85-67. They're as good as gold. They're set. They're going to clinch a playoff spot here relatively soon. And the Twins are holding on to the last spot. They have actually developed a little bit of space between themselves and the Rangers and even the Angels. I mean, it was close last week, but now the Twins hold a comfortable 3-game lead.
Yeah, I think the Angels pretty much cemented that they won't make the playoffs by losing 4 straight to the Indians over the weekend.
Now, in the National League, it's getting a little bit closer than I think a lot of people would like for this to be. First off, the Nationals and the Dodgers have clinched playoff spots. The Dodgers need one more win. They'll clinch the division, the NL West. The Cubs have yet to clinch the NL Central, but they're well on their way. Now a 4.5 game lead over the Brewers. The Diamondbacks all but have clinched a wild card spot. I think you can pencil them in. They're as good as gold. But then for that final wild card spot, the Brewers are now just 1 game behind the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah,
1 game.
Yeah, and the Cardinals are right there, too, behind the Rockies.
Yeah, they're 2 games back of the Rockies. And so you have some very big baseball in the NL Central still to be played here in the coming weeks. I always say this, do not count out the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, looking at the schedule, the Milwaukee Brewers get the Chicago Cubs tonight. And again, this is a huge, huge game. Following this set, the Brewers get the Cincinnati Reds, and then they wrap up with a 3-game set of the St. Louis Cardinals. Could be a monumental series down the stretch. Who do you think gets in? Are you rolling with the Cardinals?
I'm going to roll with the Brewers.
I think I'm going to go with the Brewers, too. I think I'm off the Rockies bandwagon.
Me, too. I think it's Milwaukee.
And like I said, Rocky fans were so optimistic this year with Bud Black. I made a couple of trips out to Coors Field, and Rocky fans were under the impression that this was the season.
Didn't make any moves.
Didn't make any moves
at
the All-Star break. They didn't. I thought the Brewers really didn't either, though.
No, and somehow they've stuck around. They need to go out and get another pitcher. They didn't do it. And in that 1-game playoff, if they get to that point, going against Arizona, I like Arizona because they have Greinke.
It's a quick runaround of everything that's happening in the national sports scene of significance here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. Coming up tonight here in the Castle Country, a big event. The USU Eastern Rodeo Team will play host to the one and only rodeo event here in the Castle Country of the year. Rodeo's done a little bit different in comparison to some of the other sports. As far as rodeo goes, they compete against four-year universities. And there's 10 teams that make up the Rocky Mountain Conference. Each of those 10 squads play host to one rodeo event of the year. We're going to be joined by Monty Jensen on the show today. He's the coach, one of the coaches of the USU Eastern Rodeo Team. I know he's going to bring a couple of participants along with him. So we will talk some USU Eastern Rodeo. Plus, we'll get into some college football, NFL football, and we'll talk Cole Bull because that's coming up tonight. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, Friday edition of the show here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. So much happening between the local and national scene, I really don't even know where to begin. Today we're going to start by talking about an event that's taking place tonight here in the local area. Also, tomorrow, USU Eastern's rodeo squad. They're playing host to their one and only rodeo event here in the Castle Country again tonight and tomorrow. Joining us in the studio right now, we have a couple of guests, including head coach Monty Jensen. Monty, a pleasure to get you in today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. We're glad to be here, and thanks for having us.
Definitely. USU Eastern Rodeo. Now, this program has been around for 3 years since you guys have brought it back. We've talked to Vice Chancellor Greg Dart about this program several times on air, but this is the first time that we've actually had you in to speak about the program. It is exciting. I mean, the athletics department at USU Eastern just continues to grow by the day, and I think rodeo is obviously something that has a pretty big following here in the local area.
You know, it really does, and when we first started talking about bringing this program back, you know, that was part of the conversation that we had, is how we could get more of our local student athletes involved at the college. And, you know, rodeo really has a huge following in Carbon and Emory counties. We have a lot of kids here that have went on to high school national finals and went on to do great things in the rodeo world afterwards.
Now, we've talked a lot about the traditional sports when they start up. I mean, softball was a very big deal. Soccer was a very big deal. What are some of the difficulties that you guys encountered when starting up this program just a couple of years ago?
You know, the hardest thing is, you know, being a new program, and we're the newest school in our region, so the recruiting that a lot of these schools have done through the years, or their program's established, so it's a lot easier to recruit kids because they know their program and know what they have to offer. So, you know, the first couple of years that we had the program, we only had a couple of kids, but, you know, this year we've grown quite a bit. We're up to six kids now, and actually recruit a few kids from out of the area. Taylan that's here with me today is actually from Wheatland, Wyoming, and we have a boy on our team. His name is Casey Thomas, and he's from Las Vegas, Nevada. So doing some recruiting, had a lot of interest, a lot more people calling and wanting to come down here to USU Eastern, so we're pretty excited about that.
This is interesting. You mentioned recruiting because, you know, basketball, football, baseball, it's a constant go for these coaches. In fact, the recruiting cycle is kind of a year-round deal. What is it like for rodeo? Is it a similar? Is it a little bit more tame? I mean, how do you approach the recruiting in that aspect?
You know, it is, and, you know, the one thing for me, I've been heavily involved with high school rodeo for a number of years, so I know a lot of these families and kids from Utah, and, you know, I kind of have an in there that I can talk to a lot of these people, but it's a year-round thing. I've got about four kids that I'm talking to already for next year to come onto the team, so it's the same as any other sport. You have to really start working on them because a lot of these kids make their decision in the next month or two, so we really have to work on them now and get their get them here and tour the facility and just show them what we can do for them.
As far as college athletics go, I've always been so interested in the recruiting aspect of it. It's a science.
Oh, it is. It is. And, you know, Utah, it's funny to me because Texas is always, you know, you think of rodeo, you think of Texas, and mm-hmm. It is huge down there. But Utah's tough. I mean, it's probably, you know, next to Texas, probably the toughest area in the country for, you know, rodeo athletics, you know, and then Wyoming, Colorado, you know, falling right in that area. It's a tough area, but Texas, I know, it seems like they have a lot more money and a lot more recruiting that they can pull a lot of these kids, and it kind of ticks a person like me off to lose kids to Texas, you know, when they can come here and get a great education for quite a bit less money. You know, it's a great community that we live in, and you know, we want to keep them kids as close to home as we can and get them here and be part of this program.
Now, before we talk about the competition, which is a little bit different from most of the traditional sports, we definitely have to talk about the schedule. Now, you guys only get to host one rodeo a year, right?
We do, yeah. So every school in the region, we have 10 schools in our region, and every school has to host a rodeo.
Now, it's a go ahead. It is a two-day event each time.
It is. So the first day and then the Saturday morning slack at 10 a.m. Is our first go-around, the long go-around, they call it. So everybody competes on one. And then the Saturday night performance is our, what they call the short round, is our top 10. Our top 10 qualifiers will qualify back for that short go-around.
Now, the first day, it's actually tonight, 7 o'clock. You guys are actually going to get off and rolling. It'll be at the Carbon County Fairgrounds.
Yep.
Okay, that's at 7 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow morning once again?
10 a.m., and that performance, it's our slack, and it's free. So if you want to come out and watch that, it's free to anybody, and that'll be just our timed events that morning. then it'll be all the traditional events Friday and Saturday night.
Now, I mentioned the competition. It is a little bit different here in the Rocky Mountain region. You guys actually compete against four-year universities as well.
We do. Yep, we do. You know, the Idaho States, Utah State in Logan, Colorado Mesa over in Colorado, all four-year college, SUU down in Cedar.
And then you mix that in with some of the JUCOs that I know a lot of people here are familiar with, the College of Southern Idaho, Snow College. I mean, so it's kind of unique. Does that give you guys a disadvantage or an advantage, or does it really just kind of, is it an even playing field going up against four-year schools?
You know, it's pretty even. A lot of, you'll find that a lot of the kids will start out here at a junior college just to get their first couple of years under the belt. My son actually rodeoed for us the first 2 years, and now he's up at Utah State rodeoing for them. So, you know, it's kind of a progression. So I don't think it's a real disadvantage for us.
Again, we're joined right now by Monty Jensen, one of the two coaches for the USU Eastern Rodeo team. They'll play host to an event tonight at 7 p.m. at the Carbon County Fairgrounds. They'll be back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m. Now, Monty, you did bring a couple of participants along with you. Introduce them. Who do we have here today?
So we have Taylan Crane. She, like I said earlier, she's from Wheatland, Wyoming. She's a breakaway roper and a barrel racer. So, Taylan.
Yeah, let's bring in Taylan. Taylan, it's a pleasure to have you on this afternoon. So you have come here to USU Eastern from out of the area. What's that transition been like for you? I mean, how have you liked USU Eastern and participating with the rodeo team?
It's been pretty good so far. I like the school so far and everything. I'm happy with, I guess, everything that's been happening here. So it's pretty good so far. So
when the spectators go out and they watch, what events are they going to see you participating in, and which ones do you kind of peg as your best, your favorites?
I'm going to be participating in the barrel racing and the breakaway roping. I guess I really don't have a favorite. I guess I like them both equally, but I don't.
What got you into rodeo?
I guess I've been riding horses since a young age. Like, I have a twin sister, so we've been riding ever since we could walk, pretty much. So I guess that just kind of sparked it, so.
I always like asking an athlete this when they come from out of the area. What's your favorite thing about Price? Because it's so different. And, a lot of the times I'm talking to basketball players, and they're coming from Chicago, and they're coming from California and Texas. So Price is so small. What's your favorite thing about Price?
Right now, probably the weather. It's a lot warmer. I mean, it's been colder, but it's probably warmer than Wyoming right now. So.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
I like it. We've been getting snow in Wyoming, so. It's warm here compared to there, so.
Well, Taylan, I'm going to let you introduce who we have coming up next. We have Morgan coming up next, right?
Yep.
Okay, Morgan. We've interviewed Morgan several times before, so let's go ahead and bring Morgan in. Taylan, it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Morgan is a local name that had a lot of success when she was in high school as well. Morgan, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
We can lower that mic a little bit. All right. There you go. Yeah. Now, Morgan, you were very successful at the high school level, so now that you're able to participate here at the college level home, that's pretty neat. I mean, this program definitely serves for individuals like you who had success at high school and get to stay home.
Yes, it's awesome. I love college rodeoing, and I love that they have short rounds, and it's more like a pro rodeo setting than a high school setting where it went all day. So when you're up in the performances, it's like you're at a pro rodeo. So I like that a lot better.
I was going to ask you what the biggest transition is from high school to the college rodeo scene. I mean, what have you noticed outside of the timing is the biggest difference?
Well, so I started running a colt because I lost my good horse about 2 months ago. And so I started running a colt, and running in the performances, they load the bulls while you're running. And so she just doesn't know what to think about that yet. So just there's a lot going on. There's flags and banners and everything kind of. It's just a way bigger setting and better people. And it's a lot funner, I think.
The competition has got to be a little bit steeper as well, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of good girls and tough competition in this area. So.
How much better does it make you going up against elite competition? Because there is a big difference between a high school athlete and a college athlete. So how does that make you better?
You need to mentally prepare and be ready for the competition that you're going to have. And I don't really know.
Well, you guys do a lot of traveling, obviously, with 10 rodeos, you know, all the way around. When you perform in front of your hometown crowd, does that add pressure, or do you like that?
I like it, honestly. I love running where there's crowds, and like I was going to say, that's kind of the other thing with the pro rodeo setting is there's crowds and there's people yelling and cheering for you, and I love that setting, and it makes me like have more adrenaline and ride harder, and I like it a lot better.
Plus, it's always better when you get to sleep in your own bed the night before, right?
Yes,
and that makes
sure.
it a little bit better. Yes. Morgan, before I let you go, go ahead and invite everyone out to the rodeo tonight and tomorrow, and make sure we have a great crowd backing the USU Eastern Eagles.
Yeah, so our rodeo starts tonight at 7, and then the crowd, or what am I saying? Oh, the people from that qualify tonight will... The top 10 will come back Saturday for our short round, and that starts at 7 as well. So come out and support our team. It'll be awesome.
And you and Taylin will definitely be qualified, right?
Hopefully.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. Morgan, thank you for coming back in.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, let's bring back in Monty one last time. We'll put the final touches on this interview. Monty, a lot of fun talking USU Eastern Rodeo. I definitely appreciate you bringing the kids down. Before I let you go, I want you to talk about the level of commitment that those participating in the rodeo team actually have to their sport, because it's year-round. I mean, it's not something that you can just pick up every now and then and perform at a high level. I mean, it is a year-round commitment.
You know, it really is, and you know, the hard work that these kids put in, it's like you said, it doesn't end when the rodeo season's over. You constantly taking care of your animals, riding them, keeping them in shape. You know, we're really grateful to have the Carbon County Fairgrounds and the Castledale Barn that we can continue through the winter and keep these kids sharp. But you know, these kids put in a lot of time. We practice, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, and, you know, and then they spend a lot of time on their own preparing and, you know, just taking care of things. And the other thing is, you know, with, like yesterday, we were out to the fairgrounds half a day setting up, you know, stalls and panels and getting ready for the rodeo. So they're fully involved in the production of this rodeo. They have to put it on themselves and do it all. So everything that they get is what they put into it.
Well, Monty, again, thank you so much for bringing the kids down. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck this weekend, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. This is must. Say it again. Buscarini. All right, Jordan Buscarini. All right, with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, Missouri, right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Traverse Anderson on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to move over to talk college football. Again tonight, the Utah Utes take on the Arizona Wildcats. The 3-0 Utes on the road to take on, an Arizona team that I just don't know how good they really are. Rich Rod is obviously on the hot seat in Arizona, right? I mean, this is a make-it-or-break-it year for him. We've talked about coaches on the hot seat in the Pac-12. Jim Mora, Rich Rod. I think you could have it either which way. Two guys that are definitely on the hot seat. Mora maybe saves his job. That was a bad loss for UCLA last week against Memphis in a game in which they were favored on the road. Memphis is no slouch. Hot seat for Mora, but definitely for Rich Rod. Tonight, this is a game that Utah should, in fact, win. They are favored by 3.5. I want to see how dynamic Tyler Huntley really is outside of the state of Utah. That's a big deal here. It's a very big deal. Remember, he has not started a game for Utah outside of the state yet. We get that tonight when Utah takes on Arizona.
Yeah, it goes in Arizona. Arizona needs this win more than Utah. For Rich Rodriguez's sake, he needs to win this game, get off to a good start in the Pac-12. Utah started out, 3-0 the last 4 years, looking to get to 4-0. So very important for Arizona, I think, more so than Utah.
Let's take a look at some of the games in college football that actually matter according to the playoff picture, now that we're going into week 4. First off, Utah, Arizona. Yeah, it is important because, look, the Utes may be number 23. And I know this is a very big what-if. But let's be honest. If the Utes were to run the table, would they not have a spot in the college football playoff? They absolutely would, considering the fact that they got to get through USC.
Yeah, and then they get to the Pac-12 championship.
There you go.
Perhaps they beat Washington. Yeah, they would get one of those spots, absolutely. So for Utah, I think they're going to be I think they win it. I think they're undefeated when they go into the Coliseum and play USC. I think both teams will be undefeated.
Nah, there's a chance of it. There's definitely a chance of it. So that is a very important game. Here's a couple that matter. I'll tell you a team that I'm extremely impressed with right now, and I think that they legitimately have a chance to crash the college football playoff. It's Oklahoma State.
That was my sleeper pick.
I remember that. And I said, I'm not going to let you roll with a sleeper pick because they were in the top 15. Yeah. Remember that conversation?
Yes, I do.
But this is a very good football team. And they proved that last week by really just knocking the crap out of Pitt. I mean, they destroyed Pitt 59-21. This is a good football team, and they're going to get tested because they get TCU tomorrow. This is probably the can't-miss game of the weekend. Number 16, TCU at number 6, Oklahoma State. Such a fan of what Mike Gundy has really accomplished so far with this Oklahoma State team. Mason Rudolph, a very good quarterback already, has 11 touchdowns on the season. He's thrown for 1,100 yards already. Offensively, Oklahoma State is dynamic. Seventh in the country as far as passing yards go. Points for, tied for third. They're putting up 54 points per contest this season. This is a fun game. It's a can't miss, and it has immediate playoff implications because, again, Oklahoma State could add a quality win to their resume. If TCU was to pull this upset off on the road, they're a top 10 team immediately. They climb the rankings at least 6 spots because people are very high on this Oklahoma State team for good reason.
Yeah, and they haven't played a quarterback as good as TCU has yet. Either Oklahoma State hasn't. So that's going to be important, and it's going to be good to watch going into that game.
Here's another game that's extremely important. It's a night game tomorrow. Mississippi State at Georgia. Number 17 at number 11. I think that Georgia has a chance to win the SEC outright this year. People can call me crazy all you want. I think there's some holes in Alabama's game, and I think defensively, Georgia may just be the best defensive squad in the SEC. Now, with that being said, the one win that you look at for Georgia and you say it's a quality win, it was on the road against Notre Dame, who I think is a good football team, but Georgia did it with a freshman quarterback, and they did it defensively. And the way they were able to limit Notre Dame on the ground was so impressive to me, considering that Notre Dame's rushing attack put up over 500 yards against Boston College, an ACC opponent, this past Saturday. Georgia's legit. Mississippi State, on the other hand, they steamrolled LSU, a team that has one of the best, if not the best, running back in the country in Darius Geis. Mississippi State, Georgia, SEC winner. They're in the second best shape because, again, you got to get through Alabama. But if you can get this victory here, you're on a collision course to meet up with Bama at some point in time in the season and potentially sneak out a conference win. Huge game here.
Yeah, like Georgia, a lot of people are buying the hype after they beat LSU, Mississippi State last week. I'm not. I think Georgia rolls Mississippi State this weekend.
I like Georgia a lot.
Yeah, I
think
do too.
I think it's a really good football team, but it's a can't-miss contest. Number 17, Mississippi State at number 11, Georgia. Here's another one that you should not sleep on, speaking of the SEC. And again, I mentioned Alabama. I'm not saying that Alabama is not the best team in the country. I'm simply saying I see some flaws in this squad. And I think the SEC at the top maybe has improved a little bit. Vanderbilt is no slouch. They're no slouch. So I really want to see what Alabama does this weekend because Vanderbilt's very close to breaking the top 25. Bama's got to go on the road. Jalen Hurts has looked good, but look, they didn't cover their spread last week against Colorado State. It was an 18-point victory for Alabama. They looked okay against Florida State. Different ball game if DeAndre Francois does not get hurt. Different ball game if Florida State doesn't have a couple of costly penalties in the first half. I know you create your own luck, but at the same time, this is an important game for Bama. It's kind of a show-me game.
Yeah, it's going to be competitive. I think Vanderbilt can hang around to the fourth quarter, and then Alabama's going to pull away. But it's a quirky place to play, and Alabama really hasn't been that much impressive, like you said, to start off those first three games. I think Vanderbilt can hang around. Alabama's going to pull away. They probably win by 10 points.
Let's move back over to the Pac-12 here. USC's on the road against Cal. You're a USC guy. I know you have followed USC all season long throughout the first 3 weeks of the season. They are vulnerable, right?
Up and down.
This is a team that is up and down. And last week was a prime example of them being up and down when they had to go to overtime to beat Tom Herman's rapidly improving Texas squad with a couple of NFL-caliber players defensively. But USC goes on the road against Cal. Now, here's the thing about Cal. Don't sleep on this team. I think it's a quality road win for USC if they do, in fact, get the win. Or Cal could just pull off the upset this week. I don't think that would shock me if Cal was to win this football game.
Cal's very good defensively, and Cal hasn't beat USC since 2004, so you have that going for him, a little motivation. USC's first road test of the year, I think it's one of the best games of the weekend. It's competitive. I think USC pulls it out, but I wouldn't be shocked if Cal wins.
Here's the important thing to mention with Cal, and I know at this point in time you have to look at strength of schedule. Cal is giving up 68 points in three games this year. in a conference that's really built around offense, and it is, let's be honest.
Yes, I mean,
you look at Washington State, you look at Washington, look at USC. I mean, there's plenty of teams that'll put up bulks of points. Cal has been good defensively this year.
Yeah, they've probably been the best defensive team in the Pac-12 so far this season that I've seen.
Now, they're close to cracking the top 25. A win here for Cal would obviously put them in. USC, they need an impressive win. They need a win that we look at and we say, wow. I think they kind of had that against Stanford. Maybe it was a letdown last week against Texas. A lot of hype around that game. Terrible game if that's to have a letdown in.
Yeah.
But that's a real cause for concern.
They've done that every year after they've played the Stanford game. They've had one of those games, whoever the opponent has been, where they've looked bad, and USC looked bad last week against Texas.
We have Michigan at Purdue. Is this game going to be competitive?
Michigan can't. Michigan has so many problems in the red zone, and going into Purdue, I think some of those problems are still going to linger for Michigan. I think they're going to have problems scoring.
I think they're going to, too. I think that this could be a very competitive game, and in fact, I think it'll look for Purdue, who is they've improved a lot, by the way, Purdue football has. If Michigan is to get this win, it's going to look like a quality road win 5 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that I think is going to help Michigan tremendously in about, 3 or 4 weeks. I'm excited about this game. We'll jump ahead, and then the nightcap game, Notre Dame-Michigan State. Notre Dame goes on the road to take on the Spartans. Michigan State's off to a better start this year under Mark D'Antonio. Always a tough team in East Lansing. Notre Dame's coming off a performance in which they didn't throw the football particularly well, but they put up 500 yards of rushing. Josh Adams is a beast. I love what Brandon Winbush can do on the ground. This is a fun game. I think Notre Dame gets the road win, but it's definitely worth watching because Notre Dame's lone loss right now, 1 point to Georgia, who I think could win the SEC. Notre Dame's not out of the playoff picture yet.
No, they're not. And Michigan State's going to have a lot of problems containing Brandon Winbush. And in the end, that's why Notre Dame's going to win, because of that kid.
I don't think they're going to be able to stop Notre Dame's rushing attack.
Absolutely not.
On the left side, Notre Dame has 2 first-round draft picks, which you can't overlook. That's one of the reasons why I love Georgia so much. They had success against an offensive line that features 2 top 25 picks in the upcoming NFL draft. That's impressive.
Yeah, Georgia's good. Very good team.
There's some other games that probably don't matter a whole lot for some high-ranked teams. Clemson should steamroll Boston College. I would expect Oklahoma, who's number 3, to really take it to Baylor. Ohio State gets UNLV. Ohio State, I thought, would run it up on Army last week. JT Barrett had a career day. They were able to coast in the second half. Auburn takes on Missouri. Washington State plays host to Nevada. Watch Washington State if you're a Ute fan. It's something to circle. That game's at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Obviously, Utah plays tonight, so you'll want to keep an eye on that contest. A lot of good college football. Another team, Oregon, is now ranked in the top 25, believe it or not. They are number 24. I don't know if they're worthy of that ranking, but that's where they're at. They play Arizona State tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not buying Oregon yet.
I'm not buying Oregon yet either. I like Willie Taggart a lot. I think he's the right guy for the job in Oregon. Still a little too premature to say this is a top 25 team. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 7:50 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Travis, we'll end by talking some NFL football here for just a moment. We don't have a lot of time to dive into Sunday's games, so I guess we can go back and talk about the game that we heard last night here on KOAL. Rams-Niners, 41-39. Entertaining ball game. Didn't need to be an entertaining ball game. The Rams, who are still a very young team, finding ways to let teams either in games or finding a way to give games away so far in the early portion here of the season. But with that being said, are you impressed with the Rams, and are they legit?
Yeah, their offense is awesome. One of the most potent offenses in football right now. And like you said, it's just the little things with the Rams jumping off sides on a special teams play where the Niners are punting, the Niners get the ball back, they score. It's just the little mistakes. Robert Woods last week against Washington, he made a few mistakes.
Made up for it last night.
Yeah, he did. And they got Sammy Watkins going, and with Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins, and Goff is playing much better. I love the Rams' offense.
Yeah, it's entertaining. It's getting there. You didn't mention Todd Gurley, who was amazing. He had 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Forgot about Gurley.
How could you forget about Gurley? Now, I don't know if the Rams are going to win the division, but I do believe that they are a major playoff contender. On the flip side of that, San Francisco, look, they're 0-3. could very easily be 2-1. I mean,
competitive.
They're competitive. I think Kyle Shanahan has done a pretty good job with this team in the early going. I mean, honestly, looking back on it last night, a offensive pass interference call away from probably winning by 1 point in regulation. And you go back the week before against Seattle, didn't score an offensive touchdown, but they were in the game. They had an opportunity to actually get the victory. So I think Shanahan's done a pretty good job with this team. Am I crazy for saying that the two of the youngest, or I believe they are the two youngest coaches in the NFL, will actually have a nice rivalry between the Rams and the 49ers for years to come? Because I think that's what it's shaping up.
I think that's what it's shaping up to be. And I liked the direction the Niners are going with Lynch and Shanahan. And like you said, that's a team that should be 2-1. They definitely should have won last week against Seattle and had their chances last night. It just didn't happen. But they're going to be competitive. San Francisco will be.
All right. Most entertaining game of Sunday in the NFL. What are you going with? The game that you're saying, all right, I'm going to sit, I'm going to make sure I watch this game.
I like Seattle-Tennessee.
Seattle-Tennessee should be a fun one. Call me crazy, but I'm going to go with Atlanta-Detroit.
That should be fun.
I think that'll be a fun game. I like Matt Ryan. I like Matt Stafford. I think that's going to be a fun game. I think we're going to see a lot of offense. That's an 11 o'clock game. Seattle-Tennessee is an afternoon game. So there you go. There's our picks. I'm going to take the morning game, Atlanta at Detroit. Travis says watch Seattle at Tennessee. Monday night should be interesting as well with the Cowboys and the Cardinals. Out of time here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm now on my way to Emory County. I'm going to be back on the air with you at 6:05. We're going to start our live coverage of the Cole Bowl. Carbon and Emory tonight, hour-long pregame show. It's coming your way beginning at 6:05. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We will catch you on Monday, same time, same place. Be safe. We are out.